All right. So for today, we are going to talk with Sarah from Wonderful Boxes. I'm here with Jonathan from OWN as my co-host, who hopefully you listened to that podcast earlier where we introduced him. But today is all about Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No problem. So I basically like the way that this podcast is formatted is there is very little format, and I'm here for that because I want conversations to be like natural and organic. But I have two questions I'm going to ask everybody just to get the conversation started.
Okay.
The first one is why? Like, why did you start it? Like, how did it all happen?
Okay. I had just had my second child, and I am not the stay-at-home mom type. Man, hats off to those who do. I cannot. So I knew I wanted to go back to work, but I knew that it had to be something that was somewhat flexible and that it was something that I really loved to do. If it was going to take away time from my kids, it had to be something really special. I had been in the green beauty industry for a while, and I knew that there wasn't really anywhere locally to buy those products, so that was my first thought. I also had loved gift boxes for several years and been kind of just doing them for friends and thought maybe I could go that route, and then realizing that I didn't really think either of them could stand on their own right away at that time. So maybe I could merge the two together. And so I kind of started down that path and met a couple of girls who were opening a shop and decided to jump in and start it right then with them too.
So, how did you get from like that point to here? Because like I see your Instagram and like the amount of things that come out of that shop, and I know that that's not just like a, oh, I just like wanted some time to myself and like control my life. That's not, that can't be like what life is anymore.
Oh no. I think what worked in my favor was being really flexible, like having an idea of what I wanted to do, but not being totally married to exactly what it was going to be. And so a lot of what you see just organically happens. You know, it's starting a shop with clean beauty products, you know, ones that I worked with several doctor's offices and their clients. And so I had a certain type of product, and people, it inevitably just sort of rolls in one direction. Like, okay, I see you have this great, you know, lotion. Do you have candles? Can you do gifts for my office? You know, just it's just sort of always is changing all the time. And so my business, I mean, just through the course of a year, it changes directions 17 times probably. So I do a lot of corporate gifting now, which is what you've been seeing most lately. I've always done sort of occasions and birthdays and things, but with the shutdown, there's been a lot more of the virtual events, the employee appreciation, you know, just it's always changing.
How do you find all this stuff, right? Like
Yeah.
how is there like stuff that exists that it's funny, so I gifted my team boxes from you last year for the holidays, and one of them called me this morning, ironically, and was like, she's supposed to reach out to you. She was like, that notebook in that box is the perfect notebook. I'm literally on my last page. I went to the thing, and she doesn't sell them individually anymore. Do you know where she got it? It's perfect. And it's like weird, right? Because we think about that in like the terms of like a little teeny tiny notebook or whatever. I never even saw it in person because I trust you and like what you put in there. And now that's like, it's her mission in life to find another notebook like that.
Yeah.
Like, how does that become like a thing?
You know, I really have so many great businesses that I work with. I work with all small business, primarily woman-owned. That was always very important to me. And you just find the really unique but functional products. I always say it's like your elevated basics. It's stuff that you're going to use day in and day out, but maybe a little bit more higher end or artistic looking, or maybe something that you wouldn't quite splurge on to buy for yourself. So I try to make it things that people will actually use, but maybe a little bit different and kind of catchy.
Cool. Talk to me about the corporate side. How'd that happen?
I love the corporate side, which I really wasn't sure if I would. It is by far where I have the most freedom.
What?
So
I would have thought, like, for sure the opposite.
I, well, there are definitely some, but for the most part, It is just business owners or people in charge who want to thank their employees. And a lot of them don't have time. They know that they want it to be something special, but they just don't have time to think about it. So for the most part, I get a budget from them and maybe a few specifics. Some of them want, you know, a branded cookie, or, you know, it's going to be a virtual work event, so I want everybody to have, you know, 3 certain items, and the rest just do what you want. It really is a lot of fun to kind of puzzle piece it together, because you're working with them to sort of thank their employees or their clients, but it's also an opportunity for them to get in some marketing, you know, if they're gifting to their clients. It's just a different branding opportunity for them too, which is a challenge for me as well.
Tell me why you love it. Tell me, like, what makes you love it.
That I get to do something different every time. So when I started this business, I wanted it to be like a surprise. Every time somebody opens the box, I want it to be a surprise for them. Like when we're traveling somewhere new and we see something that maybe we haven't seen before, or tried some food we've never tried before, I kind of wanted to mimic that feel. So it's a challenge for me every time to switch it up and make it something that is, you know, useful in their everyday life, but also different enough that they go, wow, this is really cool.
I like it. This is my second question that you'll now realize was the second question.
I'm not that quick on the uptake.
It's fine. You'll be ready for it.
One of the things that you mentioned was that, you know, obviously 2020 happened to everybody, but that you were a mom and, like, you had to deal with, like, I want to go do this business thing, but then I'm a mom, and there's that reality of, like, hey, like, obviously, like, I'm the odd man out here, quite literally. But I still think that, like, traditional gender roles are still a thing in the United States. That, like, and the statistics are there, that the last year has impacted women way harder than it's impacted men. So personally, like, how did you cope with that? But then you said a lot of your vendors are small women, and in real estate 60% of agents are women, and so we see it a lot where someone's torn between, hey, I need to go show houses, but my kid needs to eat dinner, or my kid's sick, and, like, somehow it's my phone call every time, and, like, I'm slightly smart enough to know, like, don't have an opinion. But I'm super curious, like, how has this affected you personally, and then, like, is there a trend that you're seeing across the people that are handling it well?
You know, the people that are handling it well are the ones who are flexible. You just have to be these days. For me, shutting down my shop was very scary. My website was functional, but it was not where I needed it to be at all. And so I was determined to sort of take that time and revamp my website. At the time of shutdown, I was about 90% sales in person in my store, or just corporate orders through me, and 10% online. And then within a month, it flip-flopped. All of a sudden, you know, here I'm the busiest I've ever been, which I'm so thankful for, but I have both kids at home. You know, we're all trying to find some sort of normalcy. So it actually benefit me to have my shop closed during that time, because I don't know what I would have done. You know, virtual school is better right now, but it was rough last spring. It was a lot of hours in front of the computer and trying to figure it out and getting these orders out. And thankfully, I have the type of business I could work through the night, you know, if I needed to. It's not ideal to be finishing boxes at 4 a.m. and getting the kids up at 7:30, but, you know, we all sort of had to do what we had to do. 98% at that time, at least, and I think it's about the same, of my vendors are women. So a lot of us were in that boat. Yeah. We would laugh that majority of our emails are time-stamped from, like, 11:30 p.m. to 2:45 a.m., you know? But it's like, these are our new office hours.
It is. It's funny because, like, I'm, like, low-key, I feel like I'm clearly admitting it, I'm, like, low-key the dude in my relationship. Like, if someone's going to work late at night, it's not usually me. Like, if I need to, like, go do something, Chris will, like, stay at home, handle virtual school. He's also much more patient than I am. Like, and then, like, work until the sun comes up. Like, he's very much that way. And I look at that and, like, see that in him and, like, then think about, like, if he doesn't own his own business, Like, if that were me owning my own business, I would have been, like, imploded. Like, you wouldn't... Yeah. Like, I need 8 hours of sleep at night, and I need... And that's, like, just the reality of the situation. If you meet me on 4 hours of sleep, you're not going to talk to me again. That's not the way you want to meet me. And so how do you think, with all of that, like, and I know that I've, like, personally talked to you about, like, some of it, but how do you think that... I think you have to take that and, like, make it better. So how do you think, like, that, like, helped you grow? So in all of that, you know, you said, like, it's one of the best years ever, which I think it really was for a lot of people that could convert things to online, and I know it was great for real estate. Like, how do you take that really clearly bad situation and turn it into something that you can be, like, really happy with?
You know, it really makes you weed out what you don't need and all the things that you thought, like, oh, I have to do these things, I need this is a part, you know, all of a sudden you don't have time. There are only so many hours and so much energy in one day, and so you're really forced to look at things and you realize what is not as necessary as you thought. People adapt. So there were services that I offered, you know, trying to close my shop. At first I'm like, I'll do by appointment, I'll, you know, porch drop-off, I'll do all this stuff. And then after a while, I just don't have time. So then it's like I set a couple hours here and there, and people adjust. I mean, we all adjusted
right
during then, but it really helped me see what I had attached to that I didn't need to be attached to.
That's such a good point, because I feel like even in, like, the conversation that we had and then conversations that I, you know, have been having with people, taking that, like, really negative thing, right? Like, you can look at it and say, like, this sucks. Like, clearly it sucks. Yeah. But, like, this sucks. I'm going to make something good of it. I'm going to take some time and recognize that there's a lot of things I could take out of my life or my business and just make it grow. I think that is really sort of what puts successful people, like, in their position. What's success for you? Like, what does success look like? Do you think you're there?
Oh,
no. No is a good answer.
Sometimes I feel that way.
No is a good answer.
I think for the most part, oh my gosh, no. There are moments where I feel successful. I think part of being an entrepreneur is never being totally satisfied anyway. So, you know, wanting to celebrate those little wins, but I would guess all of us here don't celebrate them enough, because we're always looking, okay, I did this, yay, but I could have done this differently. Yeah. I could have done this better.
Next
you know?
Time.
Yeah, yeah, it's just, it's always kind of there talking, and it's like, all right, what am I on to next? Success for me, gosh, being able to do what I love to do and feeling like I'm somewhat in charge of it rather than, like, it being in charge of me.
That's a good one.
You know, I know there's all this talk about finding balance, and I don't really believe that's a thing, but at least feeling like I do have equal time with my family, with my business, with myself, you know, just finding a little bit more time for the things that I love.
So a common theme has, like, generally been taking time for yourself, like, something like that in all of this, like, how important it is when you can, like, step back and say, all right, like, I need to come up with a game plan, or maybe I don't need to think about anything and all of a sudden the game plan appears, right? How do you do that and do everything else? Like, how does it, like, I agree, there's no such thing as, like, a perfect formula. So, like, how does Sarah do it?
Oof, that's a work in progress for sure. I found a lot of ways last year, during the last year. I worked and worked and worked, and I ran myself into the ground. And then in trying to heal from that, you know, some health issues and things, it's realizing that you can really find the time for yourself anywhere as long as you fully devote it to yourself. So, you know, my car rides suddenly were playing a book, which I just never really did before, or just being silent, you know, finding 5 minutes in the morning to meditate, which like prior to last year, I would have rolled my eyes 1,000 times at that, but it really does help. And I think what was most eye-opening for me was right at the beginning of shutdown, when all of a sudden I did have, you know, basically 2 weeks of quiet time before it just turned on a dime. And I took those moments to sort of get back to the vision that I had when I started the business, to the aesthetic that I want, you know, just kind of like, how can I get creative and just spend this time getting creative? And just those little changes made such a huge difference in my business. I don't think it would have taken off the way it did if I hadn't taken that time. Mm. So no matter how busy and stressed I'm feeling, I do try to remind myself, like, look what happened when you took that time and really just quieted down for a minute. And whenever I do manage to remind myself of that and do that, it benefits me in so many ways.
So one of the things that Jonathan talked about, I'm going to make you talk about it. One of the things that Jonathan talked about was, like, the light bulb moment for, like, starting OWN. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that a little bit? Because she didn't hear it.
Our thing was, like, being in real estate, it created a lot of opportunities that were amazing. And kind of had the moment where I looked around and was like, I cannot believe that, like, this is my life. And, like, I get to do this every day. And then in that sense of success, like, I was kind of done. But being an entrepreneur, you're like, I need more. I need to keep growing as a person. And looking around and seeing, like, wait a minute, maybe the next iteration of this is I'm going to help other people do what I'm doing. And that was sort of my moment where, like, everything took on, like, this way deeper meaning. Because it wasn't just, it's the oxygen mask thing. Like, you need to take care of yourself first. And, like, you kind of can't do anything else until you've done that. But then at a certain point in time, you're like, okay, I'm stable. And then you can kind of start looking at your family, and then you can go outside from that. And that was my moment, was when I realized, like, wait a minute, like, what if I could help one person a year figure out their version of what we're doing? And that was, it really took on its own life after that, because it was way bigger than me at that mm-hmm. point.
So one of the things that really, like I said, has been, like, a super common theme is taking time for yourself and how important it is to the success of, like, what you do mm-hmm. overall. And then taking those, like, revolutionary, like, moments and saying, all right, this is what's going to happen. Like, I'm going to do something with this mm-hmm. because I know. Like, I know this is my why, which is why I asked about the why thing. You know, like, mm-hmm. this is going to be the thing that I hold on to. So with that, like, how do we then, as entrepreneurs, hold on to that feeling? Like, how do we take that moment of, like, I know I love this, I want to be successful, this is my version of success. Mm-hmm. How do we hold on to that? Or conversely, if we don't know how to hold on to that, how do we deal in the meantime? Like, how do you hold on to, like, that feeling of, I want to help everybody, like, without losing it? Because I lose it on a regular basis sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's true.
Yeah.
For sure. Gosh, I think for me, it is who I do business with and surround myself with right now. In general. But I always knew small business was important to me, supporting small businesses. So I knew that all my vendors were small business. But, they say entrepreneurship, I think that's the word, is very lonely. And motherhood, very lonely. Mm. And after a while, you're like, okay. And I sort of looked around and realized that I had all these vendors or people with who made beautiful products just like I needed that were in the exact same boat. A lot of them, we all have kids the same age. We're all sort of new-ish in our businesses. And just really kind of focusing on banding together with them. And it just sort of a lot of our relationships sort of changed. I think that became a thing, especially during shutdown. But we all sort of lean on each other a lot more and a lot differently right now. I mean, even during the first couple months of shutdown, a lot of people's packaging is made in China or in places that were shut down. Mm. So here were people who, you know, were selling products. Everybody was very much in a let's support small business mode, but they couldn't make their products because they didn't have packaging. And even, you know, you might have glass bottles, I might have the spritzer nozzles, you might have the labels, you know, so watching everybody kind of band together and, like, pool their stuff together was so eye-opening for me, and realizing that, like, when I struggle, all I have to do is reach out to, you know, somebody else who's even if it's not my business, like you, you know, you're, mm-hmm. you have your business, you are a mother, you know, you understand probably what I am struggling with at that moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that was sort of a light bulb for me, and I think a lot of others, and we think we've still managed to carry that over into this year. And that really helps me stay kind of in that why. And even if it's not my turn to win or struggle, it's somebody else that I'm working with's turn to win or struggle, you know, so I get to cheer them on or help them along, and we just all kind of keep it going.
That's like the core of what I want people to take away from this podcast in general. I'm like the whatever name for it right now is the anti-marketing podcast, because I think we all get stuck in like there's six mm-hmm. quick ways to fix everything. But I think the one way that we're not talking enough about is the connection with people, right? Like the connection to like introduce two people who don't know each other yet, or the connection of surrounding ourselves with people that spur us on and help us when we need it, and cheer us when, even when we don't need it, are just here for our success. I think in the last year, if I have learned anything about like myself and the universe, what people want is to feel some sense of connection, whether it's online because we can't, or whether it's in person now that we're finally starting to be able to. Like, people want to feel that connection. And like, that's really all I want. Like, I want people to be comfortable talking about those connections and telling those stories, because nobody should feel like alone in entrepreneurship. Like, that's not a thing.
But I think too, a lot of it is when you go to that public facing business, like your business, like it looks perfect. Like when I like scroll through, I'm like, oh my God, like everything here is perfect. Then there's that fear of, but if anyone knew, it's like imposter syndrome almost. And so you do struggle super hard to make it look perfect. And then like there's that side of it where you're saying like, I look at it, I know it's not perfect. Like I know that wasn't the box I ordered for that, and that I wish it was a different color. No one else actually sees that. And so you carry around like, man, I'm kind of faking this whole thing. But the more you get in that close community with people, you start to realize like, oh, like none of us actually are as good as everyone else thinks. We're all like 80% good. And 80% good is like, I am industry leader.
It's great. But it's a true statement. I feel it on a regular basis all the time, right? Like we get into that like comparison, like of, oh, well, my feed doesn't look like this person's feed, or I'm not talking about this, and like maybe I should. And then I look at the people that I've connected with and the ways that my business has grown, and the ways that, you know, I know other people's businesses have grown, and the connections that I've made that never would have been there if I didn't put myself out there. And I see that, like, that I don't need to do what everybody else does. Everything doesn't have to be perfect all the time, because that little bit of imperfection has created great relationships, like when you're out of spritzers for bottles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it ends up creating these true, meaningful relationships where we can like all carry each other there.
Yes.
That's the goal. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Well, thanks for coming and chatting. And anything else you want to say? You can say whatever you want to say.
Oh,
but
God.
No, yeah, you're welcome. Nothing like putting you on the spot. You don't have to.
I would just say that I love what you're doing and
thanks.
Really wanting to showcase the authenticity. I think there definitely is a hunger for that. You know, I think we sort of got a taste, I feel like, at the beginning of shutdown, when we got to see sort of all the people that we might look at and think like, okay, she's a perfect Pinterest mom and everything's all done. And then you see that like she's a giant hot mess too. And you're like, okay, we are all in this together. And she has not showered either.
Right.
You know, and then it sort of went away and it was like, oh, I really loved that glimpse into people. And I realized I don't give that glimpse to people for the most part. I mean, I have plenty of hot messes per day that I could showcase, you know, probably won't, but.
Right, that's just so, it. It's so hard to.
I do, you know, I think it's easy to get caught up in the perfectionist mode. And it just is so much more fun when you're not.
It is. Well, and I'm like, you know, I know, like with my own business and my own branding, I have the luxury of being able to like curse on my Instagram and say whatever I want to say, right? Like I know the repercussions that can come from that, and I'm prepared for them when I do them, and I think them through, and I like to think that it's beneficial for the most part, but I see when I lose followers when I do it too, and I'm like, that wasn't my person. That's fine. But I had a really interesting conversation with somebody this morning about just that, like, how do we stay, like, personal and professional? And I'm like, to whatever your comfort level is and however you feel like you're not going to be a detriment to your business. And that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Because I agree with you. At the beginning of quarantine, I bought so much stuff the first, like, 2 months because I was like, I need to support this person and this person and this person and this person, this person and this person. And then my husband was like, you gotta stop buying stuff. Like, we gotta, like, scale it.
We just need toilet paper.
Right.
Just find toilet paper.
Right. You could just find toilet paper, bleach wipes, and Lysol would be great. But I have found that those are now businesses that I'm finding myself supporting later, even if they have gone back to, like, the perfectionism, because I saw that glimmer.
You got to know them.
And however you can let people to get to know you to your comfort level, that's all that matters. And I think you do a better job of that than you give yourself credit for.
Thank you.
So, well, thank you guys. That's fun.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
All right.